Oladamare, Jenyami, Olorun, God, Jehovah, Allah, Amun-Ra, the many names for the original ancestor, the ancestor who sees all and knows all, the creator of the heavens and the earth. We do not pour libation to you, but this morning we come pouring libation in memory and honor of our ancestors and asking them to intercede with you on our behalf. We know that our ancestors, being in the spirit world, are closer to you, and there's a greater opportunity that our requests will be granted. We ask this morning that you grant the listeners the willingness to open their hearts and their minds to the information that's going to be shared, such that they will hear the truth and then be able to act on the truth. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. To our ancestors from Mother Africa, the ancestors who were the beginning of the human family that we now have, no matter what your ethnic or cultural background is, the beginning of human life as we know it was on the African continent. Every person on the face of the earth has as their original ancestor an African. We ask those Africans who were the first to conceive of a family, the first to plant a seed, the first to till the land, the first to domesticate animals, the first to navigate the mighty Nile River to Egypt, the first to build a skyscraper, the first to do surgeries, the first to explore the wonders of the galaxy, and as importantly, the first to conceive of the belief in one God. We ask those ancestors to come and be with us today to bring their wisdom, their hard work, their ingenuity to all that we do. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. To our ancestors who were murdered, displaced, diminished during our great Holocaust, our great Miafa, we do not forget you. We remember your unwilling sacrifice as your bodies are lying the Sahara and the Atlantic Ocean. We remember you and we honor you and we ask that you come and be with us today. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. We ask our ancestors who gave us the great document, the Ma'at, to come be with us, bring your additional sense of honor and integrity as embodied by Ma'at to our discussions and our listings this morning. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. To those ancestors from the Caribbean islands, from Brazil, from the southern parts of these United States, who through your unpaid labor laid the groundwork for the civilizations that are enjoyed by billions of people around the world. To those ancestors, we say we do not forget you. We remember your sacrifice your hard work, and we ask that you come and be with us today to inspire us to also do the work required to correct a world that has gone mad. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. And to those ancestors who are yet to be born, those ancestors for whom we do good work, those ancestors to whom we pledge to honorably do righteous work all the time for ourselves, for our families, for our communities, so we can be correct to be able to benefit from the largesse that the Creator has provided for all of us. Ancestors, we pledge ourselves to continue to do work such that when you return, this place will be a better earth. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. And finally, we'd like to ask you and our audience to think of one of your ancestors, someone who you would like to be with us this morning. On the count of three, ask that ancestor to come and be with us. One, two, three. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation, libation, libation. It is two.
That people use to tell their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go, what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
Check it out. Call it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. For my brothers with daughters, I call this. For my brothers with daughters, I call this. For my brothers with daughters, I call this. For my brothers with daughters, I saw my daughter send a letter to some boy her age who locked up. First I regretted it, then caught my rage. Like, how could I not protect her from this awful fate? Never try to hide who I was, she was taught and raised like a princess. But while I'm on stage, I can't leave her defenseless. Plus she see me switching women, poppers on some pimp. She heard stories of her daddy thugging. So if her husband is a gangster, can't be mad, I love her. Never, for her I want better. Homie in jail, dead dad. Wait till he come home, you can see where his head's at. God game, they be trying to live. He seen your mama crib. Plus I'm sure he know who your father is. Although you real, plus an honest kid. Don't think I'm slow, I know you probably had that chronic lid. You 17, I got a problem with it. She look at me like I'm not the cleanest father figure, but she rockin' with it. For my brothers with daughters, I call this. For my brothers with daughters, I call this. Not saying that our sons are less important. For my brothers with daughters, I call this. For for my brothers with daughters, I call this. Not saying that our sons are less important. This morning I got a call, nearly split my wig. The social network said, Nas, go and get your kids. She's on Twitter. I know she ain't gonna post no pic of herself underdressed. No inappropriate, right? Her mother cried when she answered. Said she don't know what got inside this child's mind. She planted a box of condoms on the dresser, then she Instagrammed it. At this point, I realize I ain't the strictest parent. I'm too loose, I'm too cool with her. Should've drove more time to school with her. I thought I dropped enough jewels on her. Took her from private school so she can get a balance to public school. They too nurture teen talents. They grow fast. One day she's your little princess. Next day she's talking boy business. What is this? They say the coolest players and foulest heartbreakers in the world. God gets us back. He makes us have precious little girls. For my brothers with daughters, I call this. For my brothers with daughters, I call this. Not saying that our sons are less important. For my brothers with daughters, I call this. For my brothers with daughters, I call this. Not saying that our sons are less important. And I ain't trying to mess your thing up, but I just want to see you dream up. I finally understand it ain't easy to raise a girl as a single man. Nah, the way mothers feel for their sons, how fathers feel for their daughters. When he date, he straight, chip off his own papa. When she date, we wait behind the door with a sword off, cause we think no one is good enough for our daughters. Love.
Depression is a strange friend. Can sometimes feel like your only companion. It's the dog you try to put in the backyard when company comes over. Depression is LeBron James' hairline. It leaves and it comes back and it leaves and somehow comes back. Depression is a police officer's gun. Doesn't always need a good reason to trigger. Sometimes it just triggers, even in your own home. Depression is a Beyonce album. We don't know when it's gonna come, but we anticipate all the pandemonium it streams. Depression is a Beyonce concert. All the voices around you can be deafening. It is being around all your favorite people, doing all your favorite things, and still finding life to be despairing. It is gray paint on rainbows. Depression is waking up stuck in your bed that feels a lot more like casket, hoping to find God in the ceilings. Depression is the creepy man catcalling at her in the alley. It shouldn't be normal, but it is. Pastor, do not be offended if I go see a professional. It doesn't mean I don't think you can do your job. It just means I think she can do her job too. Like, we think professional help is cool for diabetes and pills for high blood pressure, but mental illness can only be treated with exorcism. Depression is repeating to yourself, I want to live. I want to live. I want to live. And hoping you'll believe yourself on the 12th time. On Thursday, I dragged me and all my voices into my therapist's office. I told her I don't think I'm suicidal. I just don't want to live anymore. Breathing can become so redundant after a while. My 21st birthday fell on a Sunday. I sat under voices of a choir floating over me like stars. I was a vast emptiness, surprised I was still living. I always knew I would die young. I heard of suicides in the news, and I wanted to be sad for them. But I was jealous. Maybe they wanted it more than I did. The day Kate Spade hung herself, for a moment, I thought she was a hero. a damsel in distress that came to her own rescue. People thought she gave up on life, but on Thursday, I thought she was a renegade, a rogue soldier that finally protested all the ghosts screaming at her at night. I saw a magician. The way she made the black disappear, transformed her thoughts into doves. I saw a designer. The way she made her mind all pretty and calm again. Interior decorated the room with her swinging body as the centerpiece. Maybe in that moment, she never felt more in control of her life. In her life, depression is to be space, to be so grand but still so empty and dark, to be island, surrounded all of ocean and still thirst to be privileged. Affording the luxury to think about your depression, to be distant, to feel like God's afterthought, to feel broken and pierced, suspended above a hill alone. Depression sounds a lot like Jesus. No, it sounds negligent to speak of him this way. It's always sounded blasphemous to those who wanted him to be so God but not so human. Depression is being betrayed by friends, questioned by family, mocked and beaten by enemies. It is showing up last to Lazarus' deathbed, seeing his sisters mourn. It is being so aware of how grim life really is that you sweat blood. It is being in your father's counseling office in Gethsemane's garden, only to be left naked and forsaken on wooden sticks, the true vine crushed and destined out to dry on a cross and ferment in a grave. You think you didn't know what it was like to be depressed? Be stricken with grief. A man quite fond of sorrows learned his obedience through suffering, became a curse like depression on a cross for us. Sometimes telling us just to be happy is a mocking dismissal. But our Savior friend, he listens, he weeps. He says, I know what it is like to be sorrowed unto death and still fight for joy. We do not have a Redeemer unable to sympathize with our temptations, but one who was tempted in every way, yet without falling, yet without losing grip of you. You are not alone in the spaces of your darkness when your bed feels a lot more like casket. There is still hope to resurrect to new mercies at morning. For all the confused, God is certain. For all the unstable in mind, Christ is steadfast. And one day we will laugh about sorrow and death like it was an old inside joke among friends. Because depression may have my mind sometimes, but it is too weak to carry my soul. Despondency will never know eternity. Death will never know my spirit. Depression is now, y'all. It is not forever.
You are listening to Black Reality Think Tank with host Dr. William Rogers on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Shem Hotep and greetings, sisters and brothers. Welcome to the Black Reality Think Tank. We are here with our weekend edition, and we have a very dynamic and exciting discussion for you this evening. We are here with the ladies of Black Talk, and they are going to talk about your children, television, education, and how that impacts the family. We're so happy that you are able to join us. We thank you here for the Black Reality Think Tank. We are here every Saturday afternoon from 3 to 5 p.m. Central. We are also here from 6 to 8 with another edition of the weekend called Let the Elders Speak. We will talk about that, and there are some other programs that are part of the Black Reality Think Tank family, and we'll speak about those at the top of the hour. But just wanted to this evening to thank all of you for being with us. And we get right on with our discussion as we talk with Sister LaWanda Chambers and Miss Leola Williams. Good evening, ladies. How are you?
Good evening, Dr. Rogers and listeners.
Thank you. Good evening, Miss Williams. How are you? Miss Williams, are you there?
Hmm.
Miss Williams?
Hmm. I don't know. I'm gonna text Miss Williams right now. While we try to figure out what's going on with the sound. Miss Williams, can you hear us?
Miss Williams, are you there? There might be a mic problem with her. You know, this rain has an effect on a lot of times the broadcasting, but you can go right ahead, Ms. Chambers. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to... first of all, hello, everyone. This is Ms. LaWanda Chambers, co-host of the Black Sister Talk, where you can breathe. I hope everyone is having a fantastic day. I know we are, now that you're here with us. I hope that while this discussion is going, you are lifted to call in so you can breathe and speak your mind. 215-490-9832. Again, that number is 215-490-9832. I will begin today's discussion with our ancestral profile on Emma Sanders. She just died most recently on the 24th of this of June. And I think it's very important that we show some respect to her. Emma Sanders, a founding member of the Freedom Democratic Party and mother-in-law to Adams County 6th District Circuit Court Judge Lily B. Sanders, died June 24th in Brandon, at age 91. The New York Times reported that Emma had been one of the few surviving members in a slate of Black Mississippians who challenged the all-white delegation at the 1964 Democratic National Convention to bring an end to the lack of representation for minority groups. She was a founding member of Mississippi's Freedom Democratic Party who attended the August 1964 convention in Atlantic City under the name Freedom Democrats to challenge the state's all-white leadership. Her son, Everett Sanders of Natchez, said he recalled being at home with his father during the convention. After some negotiations back and forth, they offered the Freedom Democrats two delegate seats at the convention. Everett Sanders said, which the Freedom Democrats refused to accept. It felt like it was a token offer. During the convention, Everett said he and his brothers and father, William Sanders, were at home and watched as his mother was interviewed live on television from Atlantic City. They put up her name on the screen and that she was from Jackson and so forth, Sanders said. We started getting telephone calls, and I listened to one of them. It sounded like a younger white male who called the caller. Said, this is the Atlantic City funeral home. We have the body of Emma Sanders. Where do you want us to ship it? We knew nothing had happened because we were watching her on TV, where she had just gotten off a live interview. Everett says shortly after the phone call, his father armed himself and alerted all the neighbors of what had happened. There wasn't a single person walking down our streets, he said. We didn't know what was going to happen or if someone was going to come shoot at our house. Everett said his mother was smart, having come from a family of educators, and was very strong-willed and committed to gaining respect and equal rights for all people. Emma was born on September 24th, 1928, as Emma Ruby Lee Dunbar, and grew up in Claiborne County. She graduated from Alcorn State University in Lorman, then called Alcorn Agricultural and Mechanical College. Her first job after undergrad school was teaching in the Jefferson County public school system and operating family restaurant near the Alcorn campus. Everett Sanders said, she continued her restaurant and teaching career in Jackson. Unable to attend segregated Mississippi universities, Everett said his mother worked toward her master's degree in business at Indiana University in Bloomington, and he would spend summers there. Everett said his parents' civil rights involvement began when he was in high school in the summer of 1963. He and other students participated in civil rights demonstration in Jackson, where they met up at a church and began marching downtown. Everett said he and hundreds of other students were arrested during the demonstrations and were carried in garbage trucks to the Jackson Fairgrounds because there was no room for them in the county jail. 2 or 3 days later, Everett said he remembers his mother being asked to sign a statement that he wouldn't participate in any other demonstrations before they would release him, and she fought to have him released without signing it. The Sanders family became active in a movement to take down Jim Crow-era barriers that reduced the number of registered black voters to about 7% of those eligible. They housed and fed volunteers in their Jackson home, drove them to and from meetings, and helped register black voters, Everett said. Everett said he became acquainted with college students who came to stay in their home who were mostly white and some of them pursuing law degrees. The family faced some racial hostility due to their involvement in the movement, Everett said. There were times that I was more uncomfortable than others. The support that my mom and dad provided and the strength and to see that they were committed to the same thing I was made me feel more comfortable. Emma lived to see great progress in the civil rights movement and toward the desegregation of elected officials. Everett said he was in college at the time his mother and a handful of other blacks sued to allow black names on the Mississippi ballots in 1966. When they won the suit, Emma ran for Congress as an independent against John Bell Williams and lost. At the time the court order came down allowing her to be on the ballot, my political science chair was very excited about it, and he had all of the members of the class to be involved in her campaign, Everett said. She was quite a person, and we will miss her very much. Rest in power, Emma Sanders. She was a phenomenal woman. Thank you all for listening. So, Ms. Williams, I just want to do a mic check with you real quick before we begin our discussion. Can you hear me now? Ms. Williams, if you're trying to speak, I cannot hear you. And so I'm going to ask that you just chime in once you're able to chime in and see if your mic is working. Okay. So today's discussion, we will be talking about children. Really, really more so not just the children, but the family. And so the question we're going to pose today is, do you spend more time repeating yourself to get your child's attention? You know, as mental health professionals, myself and Ms. Williams, we have a lot of experience and a lot of trials and tribulations that we deal with out in the community when working with children and families. And so a lot of the time it comes down to lack of communication. And so we're posing this question to figure out or to help you guys, help us have a discussion about what happens when this is going on, when you're spending more time repeating yourself to get your child's attention. What does that look like? How does that make you feel? How do you respond to that? And what contributing factors led to you having to repeat yourself over and over again? When do you feel that your child is being respected? You know, so I'm going to just set the tone for that and then go ahead and start talking with our viewers while we see what's going on with Ms. Williams' line, okay? So I'm going to take our first caller and ask that you give us your piece and tell me what you think about that. What do you think about spending more time repeating yourself to your kids. Do you think that's a problem? Do you see this happening? Is this a trend? Is this something that you struggled with as a child? What did that look like for you? I'm going to take a call of 419-346. Hello, how are you today?
Wonderful. I'm fine. I'm sorry, can you hear me?
Yes, yes, I can hear you. Would you like to respond to the question?
Yeah, kids just found a way to ignore parents with headphones and having different distractions to not talk to your kids. So you find yourself using technology to interact with them. So repeating yourself is like a via text. You know what I mean? So my kids were never disrespectful, but I also gave them a lot of space. Unlike my mom, God's name, needs to respond with yes. I hear you. So technology separated us. And now we let them put the phone down and the headphones off, we'll get them back. And in my line of work, I usually just tell them, like, did you hear me? Can you repeat what I said? And that lets you know they just did not respond to you, or they didn't hear you. So, you know, disrespect is on the rise. And we just have to decide what's disrespectful. You know, the not responding or not even comprehending what you're telling them or asking of them. You know. So, and that goes back to being disrespectful to people in the community. You know, you disrespect your mom, you disrespect your teachers, you disrespect anybody that's not your mom or anybody that is your mom. You know, if it's a catchphrase, you're not my mama, came out in what, late 90s, you're not my mama, you know. And as a 70 baby, never said that to nobody. Because everybody has the potential to be your mom, you know. And you just don't embarrass your mom in public like that. You know, so you have to reach back. And just like with the old music, we were talking about the old music last weekend. We have to start raising the old way. Because this new freedom of text your child when you want them to come downstairs, hit them on their FaceTime, you know, all this type of uncommunicative responses, you know, parents have to call their children on the phone. And then if the kids won't even reply on the phone. I had a thing with my daughter. I'm going to call you once. And then I'm just going to cut the line off. Because if you can't answer my phone, I'm just assuming you're dead or hurt. And if you're not dead or hurt, then I'm going to assume you don't need the phone. Because that's why I have the phone, for me to call you. So you don't answer in the third ring, it won't ring all day. And my 20-year-old had the audacity, one time we had an argument, and she blocked my call. So I cut her phone off. And she's like, Mom, my phone is off. You should cut my phone off. You blocked my call. How are you going to block my phone call? And I'm paying a phone bill. We have not had a problem with phones since that day. That was 5 years ago. So
put some stuff into perspective, I see.
Huh?
I said you put some stuff into perspective for that young sister. It's time to come on answer my call before you answer your friend call, because I'm the one who paid this phone bill.
Right, and I can't understand that. I can't, like, my mom calling my cell phone is an emergency. I don't care if she just was like, oh, you at home. I need to get that phone call, and I'm half a century old. I better get that phone call. It's not something you don't
We need some reassurance.
Right. And I just
it's like that afterthought. Is you okay?
Right. it was an incident, and then I'm gonna let y'all go. I had took some medication, and I had slept, and so they hadn't talked to me. It was like 12 noon in the afternoon. They came over, busted in my door. And where was you at? We haven't heard from you all day. I'm like, I'm asleep. And they just couldn't believe that I was asleep at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. So that's just a line of respect and communication you have in your family. When people don't hear from you, you don't respond, you don't have no communication all day, people come look for you. It ain't going to take no 4 days to miss you. And that's how people need to do about friendship. Right? It is.
Look, it's funny that you brought that up, because you'd be surprised, you know. That sounds like an unrealistic thing, but, you know, what you find is some people just living together and not communicating. They just roommates. They not really family, you know.
Right.
That's something else. Let's talk about it.
Right.
What happens when that happens, when you're not communicating with your kids? What is the outcome of doing that?
If you don't communicate with your kids, that allows everything in this world to communicate with your kids. You know, that gives them, to me, it sounds like a song or a story. You say, once upon a time. Okay, if you don't give them an ending, or give them a couple of characters that you are valued and what you feel about certain situations, then they get that from other people. They get that from the kid on the street. They get that from people at school, other adults, other people that you don't like, you know. And I'm sorry, people that are adults that don't find you in favor will gravitate to your child and turn your child against you. So you have to lay the foundation. You have to start the happily ever after story. And let them know, every story don't end with the princess and the king marrying. It's some different ending for all stories. Everything is not happily ever after. But it's a road you're going to have to take to get there. And you're happy every after, maybe you by yourself. And you have to be ready to deal with that. You know, mm-hmm. So you have to give the kids, I call them their armor. Like, what did you arm them with to protect them from the people from outside? Like, what kind of shield did you give them? What kind of barriers did you put up? Like, I always taught my kids, do not let people touch your private areas. This is private. This is this. You don't. So that was a first armor. That's a first protective layer on. You know, next time you don't let nobody tell you anything that you can't prove for yourself. You know, let people know who you are, not what you can do for them. That's the armor that I gave her, you know. And the other armor that I gave my daughter was, she went to school. She was
mixed school, more white than African American. And I had the teachers that they cannot just talk to you in a room and leave you in a room all day. Before you go out your classroom, I am your attorney. You need to have your mother called before you are removed, because that place is too big, too many corners, and you're not going to be set up and like you've been interrogated by your behavior. And she was like, okay. And that's what she did. You need to stay in the office to be seen. And you will not speak until your attorney arrives. And then we'll sort out what the day was like.
Oh my God, you're telling it. Ms. Williams?
Yeah.
Can I hear you? No, I'm still, Ms. Williams, I'm just doing a check in real quick. Ms. Williams, can you hear us? Okay. Well, first of all, you made a lot of great points right there. And I want to see what some other callers got to say. And I'll be coming back around to you because tonight we got a lot of questions to be just asking. And we're going to chime in and give our opinions as well. But I really want you guys to be able to breathe today. It's been a long week and it's time to let off some steam. Why are these children not listening? Why am I steady finding myself repeating myself to you? What is the missing link to this foundation that needs to be established in the home for us to be able to communicate effectively? And please, let's lead by example and not expect children to do things we have not taught them. I'm going to take a call of 414-235. How you doing today, 414-235? Would you like to join in on this conversation?
No, thank you. Just listening is really intriguing. Keep going.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your comment. I appreciate your continued viewership. Thank you so much. Ms. Williams, I'm just checking in. Can you hear us now?
I can hear you all the time. Can you hear me?
Yes,
hello?
Beautiful. I can hear you. Hi,
oh,
Ms. Williams.
Oh, my God. I've been saying hello for the longest.
Well, how you doing, Ms. Williams? Talk to us.
Well,
I know you
I'm
heard a
better.
Lot.
Yes, I was. You know, the weather is kind of bad on this end of town, blowing down trees and different things. So I'm on my cell phone on two computers, and I'm just now hitting you guys. So...
Oh, well, we're happy you're here.
Well, I'm glad.
So we're about 15 minutes.
I've been listening.
You've been listening.
I've been hearing you guys, but you guys couldn't hear me. So, again, I apologize for that. I don't know what happened on my end, but I hope the phone don't go out again. If it does, I'll try my office phone because I'm not at home. I'm at my office. They're doing work at the house, so I had to change location, so that could be a problem, too. At any rate, I have been listening to what you guys have been saying, and I ran across a couple of articles talking about the children and how the media is playing a part. So I found a couple of articles that I wanted to read before we dive back into the conversation and the discussion on where everybody is in their life and in their home setting. So according to the American Academy of Pediatrics, children are influenced by media. They learn by observing, imitating, and making behaviors their own. The influence of the media on children has been the subject of increased attention among the parents, the educator, and the healthcare professionals. The significance of this issue becomes obvious when one notes, and I want you guys to pay careful attention to how they phrase this stuff. It becomes obvious when one notes the diversity of Americans who share this concern. Included in this group, they say, of concerned citizens are those most notably politicians, who typically stand in opposition to one another on many issues, but who stand together in agreement on one. And I'm just wondering what that one is, to be honest with you. Media influence on children has steadily increased as new and more sophisticated types of media have been developed and made available to the American public. Availability as well as greater affordability for American families has provided easier access to media for children. Beneficial effects include early readiness for learning, educational enrichment, opportunities to view or participate in discussions of social issues, exposure to the arts through music and performance, and entertainment. However, the harmful effects may result from sensationalization of violent behavior, exposure to subtle or explicit sexual content, promotion of unrealistic body images, presentation of poor health habits as desirable practices, and exposure to pervasive advertising targeting children. So what it says, during the 1980s and 90s, unprecedented growth occurred in the field of computer technology, resulting in the increased availability of computers to children, both in their homes and schools. Improved access for children resulted in expanded media influence on children with a new interactive element that was not previously seen in the media. So those are the things. It's a lot more to this issue that they presented, but the thing it is right now and where we are you disconnected from your children due to the amount of time that they spend watching TV or being on Facebook or being in the social media? Are you allowing the media and television to educate your children, or do you dispel some of the things that they watch, educating them on the fact that, hey, this is a movie, this is on TV, you cannot jump off a building, you cannot pull a trigger, you cannot shoot anybody, planned or otherwise, because it has become too dangerous for you. Just the other day, I was listening to the news, and this little boy and his brother was playing a game, and the little boy, his younger brother, wasn't listening to him as the police had shouted out. They were watching this video. The little 13-year-old went under the pillow where his dad kept the gun, told his brother, "I thought I told you to do what I said," and shot the little boy in the back of the head. So this little 13-year-old is facing an adult charge. And the father said the reason he left it there, because it was easily accessible to him. So by him watching what was on TV or playing these games, he's looking at prison time, but he has a dead brother. So how much teaching is too much? How are you effectively communicating with your children, whether it's sex, whether it's verbal language used, or however, how do you yourself as a family have a conversation where it dispels some of these things that these children are seeing? Or my other question is, are you so burnt out and overwhelmed from everyday duties that you have to do around the house, be a mother, to be a teacher, to be this, to be that? Are you so overwhelmed that you allow them to watch TV just to take care of you? See, this, and it's okay, but how often do you allow this, and then you go, and do you go back and ask, hey, what did you watch today? What did you get out of that? You know, how do you educate your child after he's educated himself from the influences that he's seen on TV? You know, that's my question. What do we do to help engage our children in something positive after watching something? That's
Any feedback? Any answers? Any responses?
Oh, no. You're going to have some responses. I was just making sure you was done talking. I heard a little feedback in there. So I'm going to go ahead and take a caller from our line. I got 414-218. Hi, 414-218. Would you like to join in on the discussion?
Can you hear me?
Yes. How are you?
Okay. Ma'am, I'm good. The only thing that I'm going to say, because my children are grown and I am so glad I can scream. But I do have grandchildren, and you know, and I'll admit that I was not always the nicest daughter, but you know what, my mother kept us in line, you know, because in the days I'm old school, so in the days that I was growing up, you know, my mother called us, and when she called your name, by the time she got to that last syllable of your name, you better be in front of her face because she probably was gonna knock you unconscious for taking too long. So we came when she called us right away. And now these kids, my grandchildren and my children, you know, they don't respond like that. And I think one of the, maybe, you know, they got my genes in them. So, you know, not responding and stuff, you know, just taking their time coming and stuff. And I think a lot of it comes from the media and stuff that they always hear, you know, if your parents do this to you, you know, you can call this line, you know, children's line or abuse line or whatever.
They know the number too. They know that number.
By heart, okay?
They know that number by heart.
Uh-huh. And sometimes I, you know, kind of go over those numbers with them if I'm kind of doing something different with them. But anyway, they, you know, they take their time because my one grandson, you know, you can call him and it just irritates me so tough because when you call his name, instead of him saying yes or here I come or something, you know, you screaming for him and then finally, he'll just show up. And then you'll say, did you hear me? And he'll say, yeah, that's why I came. But he never answer you in between the time he decides to get up and come to you, you know. So they don't visit me. They don't stay over here very much because when they over here, I'm the wild, wild west sheriff. And we not going to do that, you know. I take the phones. I cut off TVs, you know. We're going to do book reports, you know, all kinds of stuff. And see, but when they go home, they go right back into that same routine. You know, you call me, I might answer, you know, I might come a little later and all this stuff. And I know that they're old enough and I know that they play on, you know, if anything, you do anything, you know, I might just happen to tell somebody, you know. So the media and all this here stuff is open to children. You know, some of it is good because some parents did beat children. You know, they didn't whoop them, they beat them and stuff like that. But I don't know. I'm just glad that I don't really have to deal with this on an everyday basis anymore. Because like I said, my children are grown and my grandchildren, those are optional. I don't have to have them over if I don't want to, you know. But I got a licking and I kept on ticking. And sometimes, you know, I just have to, you know, get them a licking and hope they keep on ticking. But this year, some of that stuff, I can't do it, you know, and it just makes me, it irritates me. You know, and so I'd rather not even be bothered because I just, you know, we wasn't allowed to be disobedient and stuff. And, you know, these kids now, they kind of do their own thing. They're real different.
Yeah. They are different.
Yeah, so I just have to.
What difference you get out of them? Out of your kids, the ones you raised, so they mother. What's the difference between how you reared those children and how your children are now rearing their children?
The difference with mine is that sometimes I think she's just lazy and or you know, and just don't, you know, just give them too much slack or something, you know, because the relationship that she has with her children are more like, these are my friends. You know, we're friends.
Come on, that's what I want to hear. I want you to tell it.
When you start becoming a friend, okay, somewhere in there, you know, the respect changes up and all that stuff because, you know, with your friend, you might say, oh, B, you know, we going to do this or something. And you know, if you being friends with your kids, one day they going to slip and say something that they shouldn't say, or they going to slip and do something that they shouldn't do, which they are doing in a way of speaking. You know, they don't respond to her like she responded to me because they know that she's not going to do anything to them. When they come over here, it's a whole different ball game. But when they go home, you know, because that's their friend, you know, it's something totally different. Like you told me, I tell my kids everything. Your kids don't need to know everything. They're your children, not your friends. But, you know, this is what a lot of people do. Their children are their best friends. And that's, if you just sit back and watch the dynamics with them, that's just what they do, is be friends. They don't parent them. They are more or less friends. So remember, you can tell your friend, go in there and clean up the kitchen. And, you know, your friend might do it and might not do it. Because you're not my mama.
They don't call them mama no more. They call them by their first name.
Yep. Yep. So, you know, that's different.
First of all, I appreciate your honesty, because that's where we have to go with this discussion. It's very much about a lot of different moving pieces when we're talking about our children being raised by the music, the YouTube, the video games, the social media, you know, all of these different things going on, but nothing really coming from the parent. And so when it is coming from the parent, it's really not respected. And so we're almost at the top of the hour, but I'm going to give you guys a question to think about. So when we come back, we can talk about it. And so that question would be, why would a parent choose to treat their children as their friends versus taking on the leadership role of being the parent? Why might something like that happen? Ms. Williams, do you have anything you want to chime in on before we get to the top of the hour?
No, ma'am. I think that question will be very relevant to the conversation. I would like to hear the response to that.
You got any thoughts on that? Anything you think you want to say about that before we go to the top of the hour? Because I know what I want to say. Why would a parent choose?
But that's the whole discussion. I know why parents want to do that, but it's going to take more than 35 seconds. So it's going to take more than 35 seconds to get that answer. So we're going to go into our break. Our top of the hour, and then we're going to come back and we're going to jump into that, because this is going to be real interesting on the responses. And I'm going to save my comment
for last. Mine is for last. You know what, though? I tell you this, you guys are doing a good job of taking the words right out of my mouth. I just want to make sure we all on the same page here, okay? Because that's very relevant. Very relevant. All right, I appreciate all our listeners. And please do continue to tune in.
We're at the top of the hour.
We all agree tonight, all of the speakers have agreed, that America has a very serious problem. Not only does America have a very serious problem, but our people have a very serious problem. America's problem is us. We're her problem. The only reason she has a problem is she doesn't want us here. And every time you look at yourself, be you black, brown, red, or yellow, a so-called Negro, you represent a person who poses such a serious problem for America because you're not wanted. Once you face this as a fact, then you can start plotting a course that will make you appear intelligent instead of unintelligent. What you and I need to do is learn to forget our differences. When we come together, we don't come together as Baptists or Methodists. You don't catch hell because you're a Baptist, and you don't catch hell because you're a Methodist. You don't catch hell because you're a Methodist or a Baptist. You don't catch hell because you're a Democrat or a Republican. You don't catch hell because you're a Mason or an Elk. And you sure don't catch hell because you're an American, because if you was an American, you wouldn't catch no hell. You catch hell because you're a black man. You catch hell, all of us catch hell for the same reason. So we are all black people, so-called Negroes, second-class citizens, ex-slaves. You are nothing but an ex-slave. You don't like to be told that. But what else are you? You are ex-slave. You didn't come here on the Mayflower. You came here in a slave ship, in chains, like a horse or a cow or a chicken.
And you were brought here by the people.
To my unborn child, in case I don't make it. Just remember to my daddy unborn child.
Now ever since my birth, I've been cursed since I'm born to wild. In case I never get to holler at my unborn child. Many things learned in prison, blessed and still living, trying to earn every penny that I'm getting. And reminiscing to the beginning of my mission. When I was conceived, it came to be in this position. My mama was the panther loud, single parent, but she proud. When she witnessed baby boy rip a crowd to school, but I dropped out and left the house. Cause my mama say I'm good for nothing. So I'm out since I only got one life to live. God forgive me for my sins, let me make it and I'll never steal again or live again. My only friend is my misery, wanting revenge for the agony they did to me. See, my life ain't promised, but it sure gets better. Hope you understand my love letter to my unborn child. Places, tell the world I've been guilty to being anxious. Ain't no way in hell that I could ever be a rapist. It's hard to face this cold world on a good day. When will they let the little kids in the hood play? I got shot 5 times, but I'm still breathing. Living proof there's a God if you need a reason. And I believe in my own faith. Will I raise my kids in the right or the wrong way? Dear mama, I'm a man now. I want to make it on my own, not a handout. Make way for a whirlwind prophesied. I want to go in peace when I gotta die on these cold streets. Ain't no love, no mercy, and no friends. In case you never see my face again, to my unborn child. To my unborn child. In case I pass away, but my child get to feel love. Oh, we all just cursed to be street thugs. Cause being black hurts. And even worse, if you speak first, living my life as an outlaw. What could be worse? Cause maybe if I tried to change who I'm kidding, I'm a thug till I die. I'm a ride and man, touch bases, eat lunch and flush places. Regular criminal oasis awaits us. If there's a ghetto for true thugs, I'll see you there. And I'm sorry for not being there. Just know your daddy was a soldier. Me against the world, best of poison. All my little girls. Just know that your daddy loves you. Got nothing but love for you. All I wanted was for you to have a better life than I had. So I was out here 24 hours, 365 grind. When you get to be my age, you'll understand. Just know I got love for you. And I see you if there's a ghetto.
Hello, my name is Nawanda Chambers, co-host of the Black Reality Think Tank, and I am coming to you with a public service announcement about the COVID-19 blues. Has COVID-19 got you down? Are you unsure of what to do to protect yourself? Stressed out because you do not know how to manage the new challenges that COVID-19 has created? Are you experiencing symptoms? Are you afraid? Do you need help with something else? If you answer yes to any of these questions, contact the crisis line at 1-800-985-5990 or text Talk With Us to 66746. Remember, there is help, and let's stay safe.
You are listening to Black Reality Think Tank with host Dr. William Rogers on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to a wonderful conversation with Black Sister Talk, where you can breathe. Ms. LaWanda Chambers and Ms. Leola Williams. We'd like to thank all of you again, as always, our listening audience, for your participation. We are here every Saturday afternoon at 3 p.m. Central Time. This is our weekend edition of the Black Reality Think Tank. Also, following our program at 6 o'clock, we will have the Elders of Sankofa, hosted by Brother Alfonso Watkins. And he has a very exciting topic tonight. He's going to be talking about the deliberate death of young black boys. And the title of his topic is Kill 'Em While They're Young, which seems to be what America is saying. And so he's going to be having a wonderful conversation with a psychologist by the name of Dr. Bracey, who is going to talk about this and how to prepare our families and young people to prevent this crazy behavior. Other programs that are part of the Black Reality Think Tank family is on Tuesday. We have the Black Reality Think Tank hosted by myself, where we discuss political, economic, social issues from a historical perspective. Last week, we had a very dynamic conversation with a Queen Mother who is a part of the IFA community, but also is a psychiatrist. She was the president of the American Association of Psychiatrists. So we had a wonderful dynamic talk with her. And then on Thursday, we have a group of young millennial women who talk about a lot of the issues that impact the lives of millennials. We want to hear from everybody. That is our purpose here at the Black Reality Think Tank. And so this program is sponsored and produced by a group called After Seven, four dynamic young ladies who get engaged in conversations that are very invigorating and very, very interesting. Last week they talked about open relationships and open marriages. And that is all on our archive. All of our programs are archived. They are part of the www.timeforanawakening.com network system. We operate on that system. It again is www.timeforanawakening.com. You can go to that website, open the portal, and look for the Black Reality Think Tank, and all of our programs are archived there. And you can hear anything that you might have missed, including this program. And then once you do it, pass it on to your friends and to your neighbors and family and let them hear and let them listen and see. And then again, as always, we ask you to participate with us live. Our number here is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We have two other programs that I want to mention before I turn it back over to the ladies. We have a program that airs every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. That's produced by the Motherland Media Network. That is a part of the Time for the Awakening family as well. That program is hosted by Brother Oshiemi Adelabu, airing out of Atlanta. And that program starts from 11 to 1 Eastern Time, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. It's called African Perspectives. Very good dynamic program as well. And then on Friday evenings from 8 to 10 Eastern Time, we have a program airing out of Philadelphia called Time for an Awakening. And that's with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard, who are doing some real strong and powerful interviews with a lot of our key figures in the political, economic, social, and educational world. Very dynamic conversation. And then they are again on Sundays. From 7 to 10 Eastern Time, all right here on www.timeforanawakening.com. And so any of you that are listening now who would like to call in and talk about this topic, about our children, and beginning to help them to navigate through this technological age that we are discussing, that they are discussing tonight, could do so at area code 215-490-9832. And I repeat, 215-490-9832. And so with that, I will turn you back over to Black Sister Talk, where you can breathe.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Rogers, for that. Also, just want to mention that if you're interested in supporting our continued efforts, you can become a patron by making a donation at www.patreon.com/blacksistertalk. You can also make contact with us at whereyoucanbreathe@gmail.com with any feedback or topics you'd like to discuss on the show. I thank you all for your continued listenership and just want to pose that same question again. Why would a parent choose to befriend their children instead of be a parent to their child? Why would a parent be afraid to take that leadership role? I'm going to take a caller. We have 773-815. Would you like to chime in into this discussion? How are you doing today?
How you doing, Ms. Chambers and Ms. Williams and Mr. Rogers?
Hello. How are you?
All right. The thing is, the parenting thing in our community, in these days of age, this day and age, is that the children are getting impregnated at a very young age. When they get impregnated by a very young age, the children is not too far from the mother's age limit when she bear the child, and a child is almost basically the same, not actually the same age, but close to the same age as the parent. And a parent doesn't have any experience with raising a child, doesn't know how to cook, clean, doesn't know how to do any homely things as far as trying to, raise a child to be a child. And then you get the government, coming into your household trying to, show you how to raise a child. You discipline your child, and a child knows because the child is very young and very smart. Children learn at a very young age. They really know. And, when you discipline a child, they know that they could call DCFS or the police or whatever if you discipline the child, and they threaten the parent with that knowledge of doing so. So the child is somewhat has a little bit more control or power over the parent because the parent is limited of disciplining the child. And as I said, we get grandparents, become grandparents like 35, maybe 40 or so years back, but when we was growing up, a grandparent was like, 65, 40, 55, 65, maybe 70 years old, they become a grandparent. Now these grandparents are in their 30s. They married the late 30s and early 40s, So that has a lot to do with kids and parent relationship as far as partying with them, going out with them, maybe drinking with them, smoking, marijuana with them. It has a lot to do with that because that the age bridge is so close, Like as they said, children are having children. When a child has a child, that child isn't ready for parenthood. So that's one of the reasons why these things are happening. Do you hear me?
Thank you.
Feedback.
Oh yeah, I hear you.
Okay.
I hear you loud and clear. Lima Charlie.
Okay, and the scriptures say, if you spare the rod, you spoil the child. So when you sit back and see these government institutions and laws, it seems like they want the child to be, somewhat, rogue or just, not disciplined, being out of order, because when the police sit back and get a hold to them, guess what they're going to do with them? You know what I'm saying? You're not allowed to discipline your child, you know what I'm saying, to a certain extent, but once the police get to them, they're going to not only discipline them, they might even kill them. You know what I'm saying? They might even kill them if they get out of line with the police. But when they get out of line with you, and you try disciplining them, and they call DCFS on you or the police on you, guess what? You might be going to jail or get a fine or something of that nature, you know. But once they get out of line with the police or the public, they are allowed to not only discipline them, but maybe to kill them, you know. So it's like a double-edged sword, you know what I'm saying? It's very, mm-hmm. very, you know, wicked out there.
Very calculated.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's all I got to say.
Very much systemic. Very much systemic. I like where you're going with that, and you touched on a lot of key points, because not only is this a breakdown inside of our homes, it's also a breakdown in our community with resources and in the systems. So I appreciate your contribution, and I appreciate you calling in. Please continue to be a patron of Black Sister Talk. I appreciate you so much.
For sure, for sure. Real talk, for sure, ladies. Ms. Williams, Ms. Chambers, Mr. Rogers, yeah, for sure.
Thank you very much. We're going to take our next caller. Ms. Williams, you got something to chime in on before I take our next caller?
No, I'm still listening. I trust me, I have a list. Go ahead.
I know that's right. I'm gonna go to 334-414 and check in with you. Hello, how are you doing? Would you care to join in into this discussion?
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, and it's always a pleasure to chime in with you all and to listen, because I'm learning too as well. And, you know, I'm going to try to piggyback on the last caller, especially when he started out by saying that children were getting impregnated young. First of all, we realize that those children that are getting impregnated young has to be getting impregnated by a male species. Okay? And so something is not happening. And there were a lot of mixed messages. I got on a little late, but I tried to kind of process the information that I've already listened to, because I would love to know from you all. I know you already have a question on the table, but I would love to know from you all, what are your expectations of us as Black men? Because when I hear the word parent, when I hear the word grandparent, for some strange reason in my head, I'm always thinking about the female parent or the female grandmother. You understand? And so is there something that's missing with regards to us as Black men in this dynamic? Are there expectations of us that we may not be aware of, that we should be aware of, that you all should direct us accordingly to? And so it makes this conversation a little more flavorful, especially if we knew as men, as Black men in this country, what it is that we really need to be doing as part of that parenthood. And surely, I know those of us who, because I get a little squeamish when I'm referred to as a sperm donor. I hate to kind of look at that. I think that's almost like another derogatory words that I could come up with. But, you know, again, for us as Black men, are there expectations in this thing we call parenthood today that we really need to know to accentuate what you all are doing as Black women? Just thought I'd chime in, but I'm always a supporter, and I love to get on and just listen, and thank you for taking my call.
No, thank you. I appreciate your contribution, and I like the way this discussion is going, and I like to hear the different ideas and how folks is really adding to this discussion and critically thinking. So I appreciate everyone for the critical thinking this evening. And so to answer your question, brother, I think really what it comes down to is understanding roles. You know, a lot of the times we got this idea of what a man should be doing and what a woman should be doing. And I think it would be fair to say that working, both parents can be working, both parents can contribute to the housework, and both parents should respect one another and not look at somebody as being more dominant than the other. I think if we were respecting each other in the household and it overall, not just in the bedroom, not just when it comes to the bills, but in all domains, you know, once we're doing that in the household, child rearing and changing diapers and waking up in the middle of the night ain't just your job. It's your turn, or it's my turn, and not that's a, it's your thing. You can put some laundry in the wash and wash clothes. You can go cook some dinner. See, these little things are what contributes to the stresses in the home, because somebody is feeling like communication is not being understood. And so that's just my perspective on it. Miss Williams, would you care to chime in and share your perspective on that question that was just posed? Miss Williams, can you hear me?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
I can. Yes, I can.
Okay, so the gentleman asked a question. His expectation as a man. And I'm going to try to be real gentle with this answer, too.
Please be so gentle.
Because the topic for today is how your child has been raised by the TV or YouTube, and whether or not the TV and the YouTube and Facebook is educating your kid. All right, since he posed the question about what he should be doing as a man. And I often go back to this. First of all, what did you do being in a man's status when you were in a relationship to become a father? That right there took some time. It took some effort to make that relationship work. So when the person was going through their labor, you should have been there. You should have been comforting her like you did before you got to the good part. So when you got to the good part and the baby was conceived, that's when the learning process, because the baby got to be fed. The mother who's carrying the child got to be nurtured. During that time, you got to let her know that I'm here for you, because how you treat her will also spill over to how you treat the child. So once the goodie has been gotten, now you want to distance yourself and ask, what should I be doing? So if you have no role models and you did not see other men raise their children, maybe that's where the downfall was. Since most of the people or the children are raising themselves, and most of the babies that are being born are coming from babies, no one taught the other how to be a parent or how to take care of a younger sibling, because all of this starts early on in life. Just like back in the days, the boys took care of their mothers. You know, I had a guy to tell me the other day, I want to be in sport group. I said, really? And he said, yeah, I would prefer a man to be a mediator. I'm like, really? Why would you do that? Why would you say that? You're saying women don't have anything to offer? I said, but let me tell you this. I said, first of all, the woman carried you. The woman accepted the fact that she was pregnant and was willing to carry the seed for 9 months. She was willing to say, I'm going to give up certain things so I can raise a healthy baby. She was willing to do a lot of things that she had to not do or stop doing because she wanted a healthy child. So she began to nurture herself. She began to find out certain things that she didn't know that she needed to know on how to raise a baby. So I'm telling the guy, I said, listen here, the woman is the first teacher, because oftentimes the dad after you done got up to your third, fourth, or fifth month, go out and make another, you can't do what you normally would do before you got pregnant. But y'all agreed to have this kid. So I said, we're the first teacher. We carry you. We nurture you. You change you. We're the one. We're the ones who teach you how to use the potty without going all over the bathroom floor and the toilet. So why not engage in conversations with women who can possibly help you to understand and how to treat another woman? He said, really? I said, yeah. He said, you know what, Miss Leo, I'm going to call you back. I ain't heard from him since.
So and guess what? You ain't going to hear from her.
Probably not, but bottom line is, men need to step up to the plate. And you need to ask yourself, if you don't know what it takes to be a man and be a father, maybe you need to ask somebody before you decide to become a sperm donor. Maybe you need to watch other fathers interacting with their children and take parenting classes from those who look like you on how to be a parent and not a friend.
Uh-huh.
Let's start off with that. There are ways to learn because like Miss Richie said early on, back in the days, no meant no. You need to be in the house before the light goes off or comes on the street light. When I say move, you need to move. Don't ask me where to move to. I find a direction and pick it. I say move. These kids, they have no fear because parents spend a whole lot of time talking opposed to doing something about it. See, the law didn't say you couldn't discipline your kid. They said abuse your kid. Don't break his arm. Don't burn him with a cigarette. Don't beat him up so bad that he can't go to school the next day and he's limping. You know, there are things you can do. Take the TV. Take the cell phone. He doesn't pay bills. He doesn't pay the cell phone bill. He doesn't pay rent. So you need to start eliminating things that he likes and make him do things that you told him to do. I am not going to ask you to take out the garbage when you're the one that ate and filled it up.
Come on.
Parents need to take the role as a parent. Say what you mean.
Mean what you say.
Because if you don't, that leaves an open space for somebody else out in to poison your child's mind, or they see something on TV or hear something in a music beat and they go behind it. As black people, we were always a community where we could go to each other for support and help. The television did not raise our children. A cartoon was what it was. It was a cartoon, you laughed about it, and you went in on. People did not do what Tom and Jerry did. They did not do what the Jetsons did. You know, kids are on TV. Young parents are putting their Facebook right now with a blunt. I saw a video the other day where the parent looked like she's about 18 or 19, and she had her kids and told the little baby, did you waste my smoke? They think that's cute. But it's bringing harm to the kid and to the community. They don't understand. So, we need to educate. We need to educate our community, not just the children, but the adults need to be educated as well, because we're losing the young adults to the same thing that we're losing the younger kids to. So if you don't know something, I'm sure we know enough people where we can go and ask for some kind of support or some kind of resources or some kind of information that would help us guide our children in the right direction. So I'll leave that with that and let someone else chime in.
Yes, thank you for that, Ms. Williams. I think you are spot on. You know, you are spot on with what you just said, because that's more contributing factors to the breakdown of the family. The man is a key component of that. And I'm so glad that brother brought that up, because I'm going to segue and use that to go forth with this analysis. So when the show first started, we was listening to a spoken word about depression. And so the question was posed, why would a parent choose to befriend their children instead of be a parent to their child? And so I really want you guys to think about this. These parents, you know, like Ms. Williams said earlier, as a parent, do you sometimes feel overwhelmed by life that you sometimes send your kids away for your situations or your conditions or whatever you're going through in life to the room? You know, this is what is breakdown and starting to form. So you send the kid to the room and they to go in there and watch the TV, use the tablet, play on the phone, do whatever. You know, and then so when this is going on, you are now creating a behavior for this child. This is now a coping skill. So we're talking about on this show why your kids are not respecting you. Why are you steady repeating yourself to the child? And so it's to say, hey, maybe we need to just change some of our behaviors as parents, and we cannot look to our children to get these things right if we're not teaching them. So I'm going to go ahead and take a call from 414-839 and ask you to chime in on the discussion. And then I'm going to take a few more calls from our viewers before I deliver more commentary to you guys before the close of the show. 414-839, would you like to chime in on this discussion? How are you this evening?
I am blessed. This is Lucille. I love the discussion. I do admit I met first because I had to get out here to my grandkids' house, but it's so funny we're talking about it, because my daughter-in-law was talking about the one son that she has that wants to, he's 14, he wants to do his thing, and during this covert having to stay in, he wants to go. And I was telling her, I said, you know, you're the parent. You set the limit. I said, you got a chance right now to set the limit with your child, because if he sets the limit, he's going to do what he wants to do, and your voice will be not heard. I said, how do you mean? I said, well, with me raising kids, I noticed the ones that if you don't help the kids communicate with you while they're young, when they get older, they're not going to do it. And it's a job. It's a job being a parent. And a lot of people say, and this is a little bit away from that, they say, I'm not going to raise my kids the way my parents raised me. Yada, yada. And those kids are in so much trouble today. And they are too, because they gave them freedom that the kids had not developed a sense for in their mind. Which what people don't understand is that children have to be trained, loved, and cared for, and communicated to. And in today's world, it's like send them to their room, they watch TV, they talk to their friends, and all their decisions are made on people who have not traveled one day any further than they have. And life is a journey. So, and I say that is that it is so important for young mothers to take a look. Don't worry about it, saying the child's sitting there depressed. It's your job to keep them busy, educate them, do things with them, and don't let the world educate and train your child up to be somebody, because they will definitely walk away from you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Bennett. Come on now. Talk to somebody.
I could say a
That's
lot
right.
on that. Because I always wanted to work with young mothers, because I've heard a lot of them say that. I'm not going to raise my kids with my parents. I'm going to let them do this. And I'm looking at these kids, their kids, are the kids I have to see at Ethan Allen and Southern Oaks. Hey, I know your mama. Who? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
But you're telling the truth, because what ends up happening is these kids begin to start isolating themselves, because they're not interacting with people socially. And if the parents are not interacting with these children, they're not gaining any social skills or understanding on how to be. And so you have a child who eventually starts telling you, I'm depressed. And you thinking, why is this shit child depressed? Why would a kid this age be saying to you that they depressed? Where they learn what that meant from? You know, yeah. Your kids are learning so many things.
Right. And it's not even a part of them yet. Yeah, it's a big, it's a really big job, but I can't let a kid tell me that they're bored. When me being a teacher says, I'm bored, Miss Bennett. I said, let me onboard you. And they said, right? Okay, Miss Bennett, because you got to give them something to train them. Our kids need training so they can, if they want to become an entrepreneur when they grow up, or they want to be a doctor, they want to be a lawyer, they got to start while they're young. It just doesn't happen.
That's right.
When parents have businesses to raise their kids in their businesses, sometimes people, why did my kids walk away from the business? Sometimes you could be too hard on the kids about the business because it's something that you want it. But give them a party. Pay the kids the money that they're worth in the job, and you will see a whole different outcome. Pay them. And what's so good, you can take it off your taxes. Anyway.
Come on. Now you're giving a tax lesson. I appreciate you so much, Ms. Bennett. You're so resourceful. Thank you for tuning in and calling in. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Pam. All righty. Next caller.
Hey, so I'm going to go over here to 414-759. Hello. How are you this evening?
Good afternoon, Ms. Chambers. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing good, Ms. Laney. How are you?
Just enjoying the discussion. Ms. Viella took me back to, she always do, you know, because we Southern girls.
Because I'm old.
Oh, you ain't old, y'all. Great.
Listen. My granny say nothing get old but clothes, but some of them are coming back, Ms. Leola. So
I know
I'm
going to
leave it right there. But I go back into my time. I do remember the Jetsons. I remember Conjunction, Junction, What's Your Function? I remember all that. But during my time, how our parents had so much control and so much order in our household is because we had one TV. It wasn't color. It was black and white with the rabbit ears. And we all watched one show. And we didn't have a choice of what we wanted to watch or what we didn't want to watch. Because you was going to watch a picture as a family. And then you was going to go to bed, get your bath. You was going to get some food. And you was going to go to bed. And that's how, you know, and they censored everything that we watched during that time. We didn't have access to cell phones. I wish, would have had to ask my mama to buy a cell phone, and she couldn't afford them and was raising five children. And, you know, working for, as a housekeeper, bringing home $176 a week. So we've gotten so far out, you know, from parenting to trying to be our kids' friends, trying to buy them not what they need, but what they want. Why do a six-year-old have to walk around here with an iPhone? I have no idea, because he's not paying the bill. My two children, they are grown. And when they received cell phones or got their own cell phone devices, they were at age 18 where they could pay for the bill. So I'm providing the necessary that I'm supposed to provide. Anything outside of what you want, you wait till you earn and get the money to buy it, because I'm not doing it. They were raised in a single-parent home. Now, back to that other guy's question, too, about what the father should do. Men should know that none of this comes with an instruction. As a father, a mother. The mom, the only advantage to this thing is the mom gets to bond with the child for 9 months. Once that child comes here, it's up to the father to start his bonding process at that moment and not hit the highway. Like you didn't just get that baby 9 months ago. And like you're going to just leave her here with this child raised by herself. So then this parent is trying to play two roles. Now, I play one role because that father role, like I tell my son and anyone else, I can't teach you to be a man, but I can give you the basics to be a good man because that's not my role. That's what we're missing in our homes. Because whether you married to them, whether you, you know, y'all living in different houses, y'all not together, you can co-parent that child together so that you can bring that child up how scripture says it's supposed to be. And you want that child to be a reflection of you, not a reflection of what somebody else is teaching your children.
Exactly.
So, and then you got to stop being your child's friend, because like my, I have a daughter. She wanted to be my friend because she saw this with her other friends. I told her, I said, oh, no, you're not going to sit up and have conversations with me about just about anything, and then the next minute you think you're going to cuss me out or say what you want to say. You better get somewhere, because I'm your mama at the end of the day.
Yes, ma'am.
Better tell it. I hope she ain't listening.
Okay. Well, if she knows, she knows
she know it.
And
I know her head just
is,
went down.
Oh, yeah. You got to censor everything that they're watching. Why do you leave a child unattended in the room on social media and YouTube and all this other stuff without going and checking to see what they're doing? Mine is not going to be in the room. Only thing you're supposed to be in that room for is to go to bed at night. Any other time, you're going to be sitting up here where I can keep eyes on you.
Exactly. And how about the door shouldn't even be closed?
Oh, ain't no doors closed around here, because you know what? This mama here know how to get through them. Don't take a knob off and think you're going to slide a knife in the back and I can't get in. Oh, no.
I know
how to take a hammer, take a hammer and take the hinges off from the outside of the door.
You sound like you didn't have to do that once or twice.
Oh, I have. I'm talking from experience.
I know
I
it.
I have a son. I have a male son. I love him to death. And he just thought, you know, mama upstairs, she ain't watching. I'm going to sneak these little girls up in here, and I'm going to take the knives off the door, and she not going to come up in here. Wrong mama. Not once. He didn't let me in. I'm like, okay, I'm coming in. So off the hinges is coming. He looking at me crazy. I'm like, okay, who is your mama? She looking at me crazy. Well, you need to get on the phone and you need to call your mama, because I'm not going to be liable for anything that happened to you in my house, because for one, I didn't even invite you in here. And you, if you can't keep them out here, then it's time for you to go, brother man. So guess what? He has his own place and nobody goes to his house now. How about that?
I know that's right.
It starts with us. We have to stop trying to be these kids' friends and start being a parent. Whether it's a single parent home, whether it's a two parent home, and if we can get the fathers on board, fine. If not, at the end of the day, they still our children, and it's still up to us to teach them from right from wrong and how to be productive in this world. Because if we don't teach them, the streets and anybody else that they're in come encounter with is going to teach them.
You better tell it. You are so
and
right.
I
know that's right.
One of those things they will.
Oh, Miss Williams, you just cut completely out on me. Completely out
I
on
said,
me.
Being disrespectful is one of those things that the streets will teach them about their parents.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And plus, these kids don't know what love is. You know, they mm-hmm. just don't recognize what love is. They think love is having materialistic things. Yeah. They get these different messages in the household. We talking about mm-hmm. daddies being daddies. Then daddies got to respect mm-hmm. mamas in front of those kids.
Uh-huh.
Because
yep.
when we not respecting these babies, when these daddies is not respecting these mothers, these kids start disrespecting these mothers as well. And so that's another reason why sometimes, you know, your kids don't listen to you. This is a reason why you will find yourself spending more time repeating yourself. If you're not being respected, they're not going to show you no respect either. It's just not going to happen. So
we're about 15 minutes shy of the end of the show, and so I'm going to go around once more and see if anyone has anything else they'd like to add to the conversation. So I'm going to double back around to 419-346. Hey, how you doing?
Hello, how are you all?
We're doing well. I was just coming double back into you because I know we started off the discussion with you, and so you've heard so many other people chime in by now. And so I just wanted to check back in with you and see if you had any final thoughts, any other things you'd like to say.
Yes, I think everybody was very productive in our conversation. I'm all for the last caller. We have an open door policy here. And I have one option. When I go downstairs, I lock all the doors but the bathroom. Okay? So there's no readmission. Okay? As far as the father, the men ask what the fathers, what they're supposed to do. There's no obligation. That child is just like you. You need to eat. You need to be fed. You want somebody to talk to you. You want things. You need things. So your child is whatever you are. Whatever wants you have, you need to give to that little person that you just made. It's real simple. If you need a haircut, gather all your sons and you all get one. If your daughter
come on,
you get your hair combed, make sure she's getting her hair combed. It's real simple. You eat this morning, make sure your children have breakfast. Buy groceries. It's things that you can do that's more than a grown can do, you know. And if you don't, are not engaged with your other of the mothers and it's too toxic that you can't see the kids, you are an uncle. You are a cousin. You are a brother. There's all kids around you that can receive the knowledge and the love. You don't have to be the daddy to give out love and support to these kids. I have wonderful brothers that treat my children as their own. You don't have to be the donor to donate love, time, honor, and respect. So mm-hmm. just because you didn't make a child don't mean you can't help a child.
That's right.
And, absolutely. And that's so much. Thing, it takes a village.
I wanted to say, yes, if you do not teach your children, the streets will teach your children. But one thing the streets do teach is honor and respect. That head of that gang is going to show his power all the time. And all the people around him will stand to him. And they'll make the streets your child's family. But you definitely don't want that. They have sex traffickers out here. They taking the kids. They want your kids to be media raised so they can give them that life. And the question that everybody mm-hmm. wants to know the answer to is, why is these women letting these children be their friends? Because the women are living social media. You think
come
it's
on,
cute?
That's what I've been waiting on. There you go.
You think it's cute that Cardi B little baby is on TV? That's real cute, but she's taking care of that baby. A kid that don't mm-hmm. a kid does not need an iPhone, you can't spell iPhone. And if
true.
You don't know the numbers, call
look,
you
he know
the
to
iPhone.
Say Google.
Right. So we need the mothers need to step back off of Instagram. They need to stop thinking that these 5,000 people is your friend. And I would like everybody mm-hmm. to challenge you, media, to tell a friend the truth this week. Talk
yes.
to your kids. Okay? Talk to them. And the thing I do when I call a child's name and they don't respond to me, I stop responding to them. And it's real cute to see a kid. No, you have to call her by her first name. Oh, you have to say, excuse me, to see 8 kids trying to get you to get your conversation across to me. Oh, no, you got to say, excuse me, don't you see she on the phone? Oh, you got to wait until she stops talking, then you ask. Because we all want the same thing. And that's how I lead by example. Because once you raise one kid right, the rest of them will follow. Because once that one kid get what they want, the rest of them will conspire. Like, okay, what you say? How do you say it? What do you say? What do you do? And that's how you get your point across.
Exactly.
I did not raise, I raised my kids like my mom raised me. But I did not do all the physical because they are, they was mentally children. They read books. They not going out intelligent me. You know.
Okay.
So when my kids got punishment, I maxed out your punishment. My daughter did something, wasn't respectable. She's like, oh, here's my cell phone. Here's my tablet. I'm just punishing myself, Mom. I was like, oh, no, girlfriend. Hold all that. I'm going to pick your punishment up later. She went, got her driver's license, passed a perfect test. The woman came back with an empty paper. I said, did you take the test? Oh, she said she did everything right. I said, oh, perfect, 100% right? Wow. I said, oh, let me see those licenses. She said, oh, I got my license. They was hot. Hot off the press.
No, no, that's right.
You're grounded. She fell out in the middle of the floor at the BNB crying. She was like, why are you just going to do that to me? Because you disrespect me,
you care
my
about
house
that.
And my things. You are grounded to further notice. Park your vehicle in front of my house. Thank you very much. How are you going to do perfect for something else and disrespect me? You're grounded. Okay? I don't care who she told. She told everybody in the family. She cried. She fell out. She could have thought she lost the world. But she's going to remember that. And when she did another thing, she had the car. Okay, keep the car. I took the battery. You still grounded. Let these kids, don't let these kids use technology to outsmart us. Yeah, we can't beat you like a slave, leave no marks. But her walking to school that whole week can mess up all your plans. Or you walking around with a cell phone that don't work. Or you walking around with keys to your car outside and you can't start it up. That works with you mentally. And when you go to your room, and you walk to that room and you tell them to clean it up, go in there. Take everything out of there. Leave them a pair of drawers and a pair of shoes. Work with this.
Earn work with this.
Back. And you need to be different. You got to do stuff different. They ain't going to take no beating because some kids like, you can't whoop me, but I can punch you. I don't got to put my hands on you. Because when I mentally get you, you will be set for the rest of your life. I don't have no problem with no disrespecting children. None. And I ain't raised any. I'm not going to be around any. They have penalties, ladies and gentlemen, that still work. No means no.
And consistency. Consistency is everything. You know, being consistent. Don't just do something and then walk away from it, go back to Facebook, Instagram after you've been yelled and stuff. No, you need to be consistent and engaging with these children.
Right. And they come out, well, I don't want, if I take the TV, they're going to be looking at me all day. Well, let them write a story about the story they watch. And how about that? Give them a report of what you're watching. Tell them how many words they said with the letter M. See if they comprehend what they're listening to. Your mind don't have to go far. If you want to be on Instagram, put this on Instagram. If you want to be a good parent and see your blue shorts and you know what's got the blood done, your hair done, but you got to progress your child mind. That's
come on.
True.
You know what? And let me say this. Because last year or the year before, some young man got on Facebook talking about being in a gang. And he was telling everybody he was in the gang. And his uncle ended up whooping his butt on Facebook telling his people he is not in a gang. We ain't raised our kids like that. We go to church. We know the Lord. We're faithful. We're prayerful people. He is not in the gang. And all of this stuff he's telling y'all about being in a gang, that is not him. And they whooped him on Facebook. You know, the year after that, that little boy got killed.
Yeah.
See, the thing it is, when our kids make themselves believe something that they see on TV and then they go out there and try to represent, it ends up being more harmful than good. Just like your little kids want to play dress me up, that's just a pedophile's dream. He's waiting to see all of that so he can catch you on the streets. So we got to be careful about what we allow our kids to watch or to put on Instagram or Facebook and different things like that. Don't let the TV and the Instagram be your child's educator. Educate your kids. Educate the adults, because some of them need to be educated as well. In order to be a parent, you need to know how to parent. And if you don't know how to parent, then ask someone that you think or feel that is a good parent or is a positive role model. Ask somebody. That's all I know. Back in the day, the community helped raise the kid, whether it was your biological kid or your friend's kid or whatever, but the whole community helped to raise that kid. And we need to get back to that.
Sure do. It takes a village. Let's get back to being a collective. All this individualism is killing our community. We're letting the TV raise our kids. Our kids on Facebook. The parents on Facebook. The parents is Facebook friends with the kids. And oh my God, I just don't know how we got to this. But I hope that this discussion has helped those who are listening and participating to reevaluate some things that you're doing. What does engagement look like for you and your children now?
And community.
To support. Yeah, and community. How do I find out what supports are actually fruitful for my children? Because not only do your kids learn from you, they're learning from others. So it's very important who you have your children around. Very, very important. I'm so glad you guys joined in with us today for this discussion, and I hope you all join us next week with our next discussion. Continue to
thank you guys for listening.
When you can breathe.
You know how I feel. Sun in the sky. You know how I feel. Breathe. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me, yeah.